So it's called the Science Podcast, and these are a couple of atheists that run this podcast. So I thought you'd be interested to hear what they say. This is only one little bit, so it's over half an hour, and I couldn't play you the whole thing because I'd have to have so many beeps in it, bleeping out the expletives.
Because you can't pray, this shit's a space!
Tonight's episode of the Science Enthusiast Podcast is brought to you by Summer Camp. And no, not the really cool camp called Camp Quest, though you should totally make a donation to this fantastic, we'll edit that out, fantastic secular camp at campquest.org. But other summer camps, because, and this is a fact, and I know a guy who says we have the best facts on our show, and believe me, we all have fond memories of our times at summer camp. Those hot, sunny days with an afternoon swim to cool off, eating popsicles in the evening, and that quiet panic we all have whenever you're in the bathroom for just a little bit too long while pooping, because even though we know everybody poops, it's still always awkward that others know exactly what you're doing at that right moment. So you try to rush things, but then you end up taking a little bit longer, and now you're frustrated, and it's just something I encounter. Okay. Anyway, but we're talking about summer camps that are great for those times. That's not how I want to segue out of that. But also, we all remember those times at summer camp that resulted in you falling under the lustful spell of moral corruption and homosexuality.
Yeah, I mean, that's what summer camp does. Well, yeah, I mean, not just summer camp, but sleepovers. Yeah, I never went to sleepaway camp, but I guess if I did, I would have fallen under the spell of homosexuality and corruption, because that's something that somebody actually said. That's, yeah.
Yeah, this radio host, Linda Harvey, of course, going to give you one guess there as to...
Is she religious or conservative?
Which side of the aisle she's on, the religious right side. So she, this is gonna be hard to read through.
Do you want me to read this? The quote.
Yeah, you can do it because I'll just start laughing in the middle.
So let's pretend that I'm Linda Harvey talking about sleepovers in summer camp. These
Someone's
are actual.
Someone's gonna cut this out of the show. They're gonna download this and then they're gonna Sam Harris you and just upload it.
Yeah.
This
these
one
are
part,
actual words.
Say, look at what Natalie Newell said on this podcast.
Oh my God, they are gonna Sam Harris me. So she actually said these words. They want access to youth and access even to corruption. It might not be sexual, but it might just be moral corruption of some kind. They're older peers who also are corrupted early.
Comment
Hold
on this. Yeah. Moral corruption of some kind. I don't know what
some
kind.
But
some kind.
But we're going to get
sorry.
But we're going to get better. We're going to get better now.
It gets better.
Because it gets better because why not? She says, you know, so many kids are into pornography and homosexual pornography is part of that. You know. Hold on. Kids are sexualized early, only online. You don't even have to have somebody involved in it. These are words that came out of her mouth. Let me continue. So those may be the people that your kids are in a sleepover with or at camp with, you know, is these kids who are already highly sexualized and nobody may know it, but it'll come out in the middle of the night.
Phrasing
Linda Harvey. But it's going to come out. She's talking about semen.
Let's not misquote her. It'll come out. We are not getting sued.
Like, sleepovers are just jizz central, obviously. And
What? Are they not? Was my summer camp experience not normal?
So these were
I don't even know how to break this down.
Said.
So many kids are into pornography and homosexuality is a... homosexual pornography is a part of that.
Yeah.
So... There's
kids
also
are pervs.
There's a lot of different. I don't know if you've heard of this thing called the internet. There's a lot of different, like Rule 34.
I mean,
like everything can be there's pornography for everything.
Linda would die if she did a Google search for. I mean, I don't know. I wonder what Linda's into.
There's a song by this group called Da Vinci's Notebook called Internet Porn, and it is. I cry every time I hear it because it's so goddamn funny.
Rule 34, like somebody is turned on by Linda Harvey talking about porn. And so,
yeah,
you know,
right, exactly.
So somebody right now is going to make a porn about her talking about porn and summer camp. And it's just, this is just where we're at. So sorry, Linda.
And I love how many times she has to say,
you know,
because no, I don't know. I don't know that kids are sexualized early online. I don't even know what that means.
No.
Who's sexualizing these children online? You don't even have to have somebody involved in it. What is the fuck does that mean?
I don't know.
So
but
those
you know.
May be the people that your kids are in a sleepover with or at camp with, you know? These kids who are already highly sexualized. If you're a highly sexualized,
we're not going to go there. Know. But introduce the people
and
to
nobody
us.
May know it.
Come on, you know.
But it'll come out in the middle of the night.
That's it. That's all that Linda
Hello,
Harvey said.
And thank you for listening to the Science Enthusiast Podcast. We come out in the middle of the night. My name is Dan, and as always, I am joined by my amazing friend, Natalie, who I miss terribly since she left Indiana just a few long days ago. It's been a long week.
Doesn't it feel
it's
like
only Wednesday.
I know.
It's Wednesday,
only Wednesday,
right? Please.
It's only Wednesday. Yeah, and I left on Monday after nearly a week. I left
in
on
a
Monday.
Flurry in the morning
I just rushed out the door
to get to work.
I just left. Yeah, and I miss you.
Yeah, I miss you. So we'll have to do more shows together, like in person.
Yeah,
because we were at Gateway to Reason. We did obviously you if you're hearing my voice, you know, because you listened to episode 60, the one preceding this one, and we did it with David G. McAfee, and it was fun. And the only thing I can take away from it is people don't like it when you say you don't like coffee or Star Wars. I think that's the takeaway that's the feedback I kept getting the rest of the weekend.
Because,
of course, we had to go on early Saturday morning. So we had a
9:40.
Whole day. Yeah, we had a whole day and a half for people to say, hey, you don't like coffee. Oh, no shit. Thanks. I know. I didn't say you can't have coffee. I'm not infringing on your rights. I'm just stating mine. Anyway, yeah. I just thought it was ironic that we're at a free thinker convention and now all of a sudden you're persecuting me for what I do and do not like. I'm not trying to take away anything from you, but now that turned into a whole thing.
I'm sorry that just turned into a whole thing, but I like coffee, so therefore people like me, maybe, but I really enjoyed doing that live record with you and McAfee, David G.
Yeah, that's
David
G. And that's the other thing. David G. afterwards, or maybe it was even when we were on stage, I think, he leans into me and goes, you know, I don't like coffee too, but I'm not going to say a damn thing about it. And I'm like, you motherfucker, you can't do that. You can't let me sit up here and be roasted by this vicious crowd who just said, boo.
You just got roasted. You got roasted by the atheists in the morning. But still, it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. That was the first atheist conference I think either one of us had been to. And I was, I guess, not expecting the level of audience, unsolicited audience participation.
Which was fun. I liked that. I liked doing it in front of people who reacted. No? I enjoyed that.
I feel like you can react, but I'm not going to in the session in question.
Oh, I thought you were talking about during our thing.
No, that was desired.
Thing.
Yeah, that was desired.
I just
talked at length about digitally penetrating Jesus's holes. Which holes? I left that up to the imagination. No real reaction from that. But okay. But yeah, I forget who it was, but she was talking about how to talk as like how atheists should talk to people, is, you know, parenthesis on the end that she didn't put there, but I'll put there, tone trolling. And it was one of those, should you say this or should you say this? And I would vehemently disagree with what she said, because what she said was, you know, we should all talk like this, which is super friendly all the time. And, you know, it just takes, just takes different voices from different people. And you got to do what you're good at. And as long as you're attacking ideas and not the person, I don't see how that's a bad thing. I see value in having those different voices doing what they do best, doing what we do best. If I try to come off as super kid glove on people, you would be able to see right through that, because that's not being genuine to who I am as a person. So anyway, we've gone off the rails about five times. We have a long interview coming up with Jessica later in the episode. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about our God of the Week?
All right, so quickly, I will give us a god of the week, and it is Persephone, the Greek underworld goddess. So Persephone, she was the love child, and I'm calling her a love child because she was the child of, you know, Zeus, the big, big god, you know, dude. And
the big guy.
But not the big guy.
Because we all know who the big guy is.
G-O-D.
Just the G-O-D?
Yeah. So Persephone was the daughter of Zeus and Demeter. And yeah, Demeter, I guess, was just some hot chick that Zeus liked, maybe. So Persephone grew up to be very lovely.
You're a god.
Yeah,
you're
so you god. Take what
like, you make
can.
The rules.
Yeah, so he liked her. He got with her, whatever. So Persephone, she was gorgeous. She was awesome. You know, so she was able to just choose her own destiny and live happily ever after. LOL, JK, no, she wasn't, because she was a woman. So instead, her loving father, Zeus, promised her to Hades, the keeper of the underworld. So as it happens, arranged
yeah,
marriage.
Right, which is I'm sure yeah. what she wanted because,
yeah.
you know.
Totally. She was able to choose this. So one day she was out picking flowers in the meadow, as she did, and a chariot from hell came and just took her away. At this point, Demeter realized
what would that look
her daughter
like?
Got...
A chariot from hell?
Fire and... I don't even know. But something like that.
How does it see in what I would say, okay, fine.
It comes up out of the ground, gets her, and
right.
goes back down.
I can accept that it comes out of the ground, but from where in the ground does it come out of? Why didn't they investigate this big flaming hole, and or did it fill back in that quickly? Why didn't they feel the earthquake? The earth opening? And how is it not a volcano? And why is hell underground? If that would imply that hell is finite, if it is underground,
you're asking way too many questions. That's why
it's so hot in the center of the Earth is because it's so compressed, and eventually we're going to reach a critical mass that is going to start to undergo fusion, and the core of the Earth will turn into a star, and then. That'll be the oh my god! I think I just figured out the Bible.
You're going off the rails.
Did I just figure out the Bible?
Episode. Checkmate you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Anyways, I mean, I feel like it's not even worth finishing the story, but
we'll finish the story.
So
sad kid got kidnapped.
Persephone's mom is sad that her daughter got kidnapped. So, Demeter was in charge of like agriculture and harvest and all of that kind of stuff. So. She was so bummed out that she was just like, fuck the harvest and screw all this stuff that's growing. And winter set in all across the world. So at this point, Zeus realizes he has some problems to solve because shit, it's really cold and nothing's growing and whatever. So he talks to Hades, who at this point is just completely smitten with Persephone because she's hot and awesome, whatever.
I have to imagine Zeus goes, bitches be cray, am I right?
That's definitely how they talk. So they have that conversation. And Zeus manages to convince Hades to set Persephone free for 6 months out of the year. So I'm going to tell you, this is how the seasons have come to be. Because Persephone spends half her time on Earth and half her time down in Hades, hell, underworld, whatever. So Demeter, during the time that Persephone is up on Earth, she's happy and harvests are happening and the Earth is warm and nice and all this stuff. But then... cold despair sets in when Persephone goes back down and winter. So seasons. And it's all Persephone's fault just because she was so pretty.
Because she's a woman. Just like
she's a woman.
Just like that's Eve it. In the Garden of Eden. Just like I'm sure somebody somewhere else that I can't think of off the top of my head.
Yeah. So that's it. So now we'll probably pause for some kind of announcement from Blog Talk
Radio. Or maybe not. Who knows?
Or maybe not. We'll see how it works.
Today, we are thrilled to be joined by Jessica Bloomkey-Greift. Jessica is a contributor to Friendly Atheist and co-host of the Friendly Atheist podcast, and she also performs stand-up comedy in her free time. We've heard that she has some sweary opinions about the orange dude that's in the White House, and we'll get to that in a minute.
We're at Mar-a-Lago. Like, let's be
golf. Okay.
Don't mislead people.
Right. I know. He is on a golf course somewhere, or he's just on the toilet tweeting. But whatever.
Oh God, that's.
Sorry.
I don't. That's want disgusting. That mental image. Thank you.
But you know he does it. You know he does it. Jessica, before we derail this, we already have derailed this. Can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, there's not a ton to tell. I live in the suburbs of Chicago. I've been doing the Friendly Atheist podcast for 3 years now. I've been a contributor to friendlyatheist.com for 5. And I'm just your average run-of-the-mill millennial literature major college graduate, I guess.
You also do some badass cross stitchery, which we just saw right before this. Yeah, so you're a real Renaissance woman, obviously.
Thank you for saying so, because I think it's tacky to say it about yourself. So.
I figured I'd put it out there. She does everything. She does a podcast. She's a stand-up comedian. She does really cool cross stitch. She's smart. Mm-hmm. She's all these things. So
nobody said she wasn't those.
Yeah, but I'm just putting it out there. So why don't we talk about some stuff that's happened in the past few days out in the world? Yeah.
Has anything happened? I've just been living in a bunker.
Yeah, I want to live in a bunker, but instead I've refreshed Twitter and Facebook too many times.
Oh my god.
But that's the Republicans didn't take away healthcare last night, right?
Yeah, I don't know. What do we think about John McCain being painted as like the hero of the hour here?
Mixed feelings.
Confusing.
Yeah, because it's all on him, right? They're kind of putting it that he saved it, but there were two other people that voted.
Yep, and there's two other Republicans who voted against it. So it's not like he was even the only Republican who dissented. And I get it, like, he's going through shit. And the thing is, like, if the narrative had been he had this surgery, got this horrible diagnosis, hopped on a private jet to make this vote so he could, like, strip Americans of healthcare, like, I think that's a super different story we'd be talking about right now.
Yeah.
But like, I credit where credit's due. He did the right thing, I guess. But let's not, you know, I think sometimes being the bare minimum of like not a monster is, I guess, enough to get a good pat on the back. I mean, he did the right thing, right? Like, give him that.
He did. He did.
This doesn't make him a hero of human rights. He's not guiltless in my head. But like, I don't wish brain cancer on people. That's not like my main jam.
Good. I think we're all on the same page with that.
Good job, everybody.
Not our jam to wish brain cancer on people. So that we'll put ourselves in that column. But that's the kind of thing that comes up when, you know, various issues are being talked about. It gets to this point of personal attack sometimes, and that's where I think it.
I mean, you just kind of said one of the underlying issues there is it is a personal attack and not looking at the idea or the ideology that's supporting it. And that's kind of, I know that's what you guys do on your show and website. And that's what we do here too, is always emphasize going after the idea and not the person, because people are not ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, you know, just thinking about something else that happened in the past few days, I'm going to Donald Trump's Twitter now because we're so just talking about you know, an entire group of people, like trans men and women in the military, that, you know, our president essentially tweeted that, you know, just no to them serving. And I feel like isn't that an attack on people?
I think that's goes beyond,
like, that's, I don't even anything. Know, I don't even know how to frame it, because
to their credit, from, of course, I'm not in the Pentagon yet, but hashtag goals, but from everything, all the news reports I've heard and everything like that, it's, they were completely surprised by it. And but also they're not taking orders from the president via Twitter. Yeah. They said, or at least they strongly implied. So that's partial faith in humanity restored in that aspect. But it's the
it's that it's a discussion that was put out there and put out there by Twitter or on Twitter by the president towards an entire group of people. It just, that there was something about all that that felt really disgusting. And
well, so I think this is sort of the end, not even the end result, but one of the results of what we're seeing in the White House, of when you have a man like Donald Trump, who has been like silver spoon shoved up his ass since he was a baby, right? Like, and therefore has always been powerful and always been surrounded by yes men, right? So he has never been told no in his entire life. And so,
well, and if you tell him no, he fires you.
Exactly.
You don't do what he wants to do.
Exactly right. Yeah. So what the result is, a man who is in a position of terrific power, who doesn't understand what his job is or how he fits into the government, or frankly, I would argue how the government works at all. Like, that's that's the underlying thing. So this is the result of it, that he thinks he's a dictator. He thinks that what he says goes, and nobody is there. And when I say nobody, like, everybody in that White House is accountable. I don't care if, like, he's going to fire them or not. Like, he has, granted, he has a minimal staff right now because nobody wants to work for him, which is fair. Yeah. But there are people, like you said, people in the Pentagon, people who are not associated with his campaign or with his particular White House. And somebody needs to go in there and go, like, listen, dude, like, here's a civics 101. Like, let's watch Schoolhouse Rock. And this is how a bill becomes a law. And nobody will do that. And whether or not that's a fear of him or a fear of the office or a reverence to the office. And I think all of those are garbage reasons. Like, I get the idea of that you have to be reverent to the president and there's something about, you know, the office and Mr. President and all that stuff. But goddamn, like, when you see this man tweeting at 3 a.m. and clearly watching Fox News and then denying it and lying and, like, telling Boy Scouts that, like, his buddy got laid on a yacht, like, somebody needs to grab him by the scruff of the neck and be like, dude, hey, chill for a sec.
I know you want to rewind on the Boy Scout stuff.
What's this about?
Have you not heard that one?
I missed that one this week.
So he was speaking to... Yeah. It's been a busy week. He was speaking at the Boy Scout
Jamboree,
I think. Mm-hmm. Was it the Jamboree?
Yeah. I think it was a Jamboree. It's just all the Boy Scouts, yeah.
Yeah, and he... So the president is always invited to speak. Is it every 4 years? So last time when Obama was president, he didn't physically appear, but he did, like, a video message. And then Trump obviously physically appeared because... Oh boy, has nothing going on in his day because he can't read. Have you heard the conspiracy theory that he can't read? Because it's my favorite thing in the entire world.
I mean, that's got to be a fantastic conspiracy theory. What could you just give us the Cliff's Notes version of that conspiracy theory before we talk about
it? Yeah, and to be clear, it's not something the Cliff's Notes. Got it.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's like talking off the cuff as he's wont to do. And he starts talking about his friend who sold his something business for a tremendous amount of money and bought a yacht and, like, basically started going, oh, and he did some crazy things on that yacht. I won't tell you because you're Boy Scouts.
Oh, but my gosh. Wink.
Yeah.
That's the president.
Yeah.
That's the president.
Sure is. Sure is.
It's so gross. It's so gross, and I have moments of just thinking.
It's just exhausting.
That this is, like, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, two little boys. Like, this is the president of their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, sometimes I have no words.
To be fair, though, like, H.W. was president in our childhoods. I don't remember much of him, but.
I guess.
We're also, HW also didn't try to destroy the world.
Yeah,
so.
I mean,
Clinton became president when I was like 7, I think. So I feel like he was more the formulative president in my childhood. But I don't know.
We've got Trump, and he's talking to Boy Scouts about dudes getting laid on yachts.
It's just
so very presidential.
You're right. It's exhausting, and it's impossible to continue to stay the appropriate amount of angry or vigilant about what's going on.
Right.
Because at some point, you're just going to go insane. You're just going to lose your mind over it.
And that's the other thing, too, is because I'm lumping us into one big group now. But I think people like us don't want to hyperbolize things, don't want to come off as, you know, we say end of the world, like, very jokingly, but we don't know it's not
that the sky is falling when it's not
right, and so that makes it hard for people like us, I think, to even talk about it, because for one, everybody talks about it, and if you give a single shit about you know, women's rights or trans rights or
human rights
about people, if you care about people in the slightest manner, you can't not talk about it, but it's so exhausting because everybody talks about it. And I mean, how do we, because I'm not good at this because I hyper-focus on one thing. And like we were talking before we started recording, I'm hyper-focused on listening to Serious Inquiries Only with Thomas Smith right now and just listening to every episode. But how do, I mean, how do you, Natalie or Jessica, how do you guys take a break? Because I don't know how to take a break from really anything at all ever. And I'm terrible at that. So like, what do you do? This is me trying to change the topic from drama. What do you do to get away from it all?
Are you saying to sort of care for yourself within the dumpster fire of all of this?
Yeah. Self-care.
Jessica, what about you?
I mean, I have gotten to the point that I don't really watch the news much anymore. I don't I skim through Facebook, like kind of through like my hands like this. Like I just skim through there. I've on with absolute honesty, this last month and a half or so. So I recently lost my job. I'm going through some stuff. Mm-hmm. So I have just like kind of put myself in a cocoon a little bit. Mm-hmm. So like right now I'm rewatching Game of Thrones and I'm listening to like Sawbones from the beginning. I just bring my dog to the dog park and like pretend none of this is happening. And that for me, that's what I need right now. And it also kind of helps because my podcast is sort of a news recap. So I can come in, Hemant does all the research, and I can come in kind of fresh and like have genuine reactions to what's going on instead of like this sort of ruminating like grossness that I have all week. But it's kind of cowardly of me, I grant you, but it's just one of those like I just can't right now.
I don't think that's cowardly at all. I think that's knowing what you can handle as a person and doing what you need to do to maintain your own sanity. I don't think that's cowardly or isolating yourself or any argument for like echo chamber or anything like that. I don't think that's what that's a bad thing. I think that's you got to do.
So to me personally, the most exhausting part of all of this is like, Trump is going to Trump. Like, he's going to do his garbage, and we all know it. And things are going on with, like, the Catholic Church or whatever. Like, that is all going to happen. Like, white male senators saying shitty things about women or whatever. That's all going to happen. So for me, the hardest thing about the last 6 months is just this utter lack of accountability on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Of these people saying, like, truly monstrous things with no blowback and no negative consequences. And, like, meanwhile, I'm a millennial, and I feel like all baby boomers think that like millennials have fucked everything up and that we deserve what we got because we chose to like go to a liberal arts college and like consequences. But then like these rich white dudes are like, hey, I just see women as like a walking pair of tits. And everyone's like, oh, boys will be boys. Like I can't with that. If there's going to be no consequences, then what's the point of me getting mad about it is how I feel frequently. And I know that's like not a great stance, but it's, I can't just like get mad and then watch somebody else walk away from the fire while I stare and point and jump and say like, wait, nobody cares? Nobody cares that this man is assaulting women or whatever? Like, we're all cool with it? Okay. All right, I guess I'll just be here angry by myself in my room.
And I saw a couple months ago two juxtaposed articles, one saying how, of course, we're millennials too, how we're responsible for shitty restaurants like Applebee's sales declining, but then also we spend more money as millennials. We're not saving money because we spend so much money going out, going to restaurants and eating out.
Eating avocado toast or something.
And avocado toast.
I've never had avocado toast. I like avocado.
It's avocado on
sandwiches before, I guess.
Yeah, avocado on sandwiches
is. Yeah, I was with my friend one day and he ordered avocado toast because he had never had it. And he just looked at me. And he's like, yeah, this is $12 guacamole on bread. So that was how he described it.
Isn't it funny that, like, millennials get bagged on because, like, we don't have savings, we don't have whatever. And on, like, that same breath, they're like, oh, my God, chain restaurants are going out of business. How come millennials aren't going out to eat? I'm like, well, it's because we all make $32,000 a year and have, like, $1 zillion of student loan debts and housing prices are going out of control and everything that's happening. And it's to me this very real lack of empathy, and I talk about a lot in my podcast that like a lot of people, and by a lot of people I mean rich white guys who are my main target my ire.
You keep saying this phrase, rich white guys.
Rich white guys. Rich you white think guys. That they were running the country or something. You think that was happening.
I was just at my folks' place. They live in Wisconsin near Lake Geneva, and they live on a golf course, and it's just like rich white guys for days. And even my dad, who is a rich white guy, was like, I can't tell them apart anymore. Like, I see somebody from a distance, and I'm doing that guy. I don't know. It's a kind of overweight white guy in a hat. I don't know. Anyway, I don't remember what I was talking about. Oh, so, like, our parents, presumably, not necessarily our personal parents, but as a generation, graduated college with little to no debt, had excellent jobs waiting for them on the other side, had company loyalty, companies that would nurture them and pay them fair wages and give them pensions. Holy shit, whoever has a pension anymore?
Would take care of them.
Yeah. I have a friend who left my day job. She left our day job today, and she said she can't come back. She's worked there for, I think, a couple of decades, and she can't go back to that job because now the job that I have requires a college degree, and she doesn't have a college degree. And my parents, both my parents are now retired, like within the last year or two, but they didn't have a college degree, and my mom at least worked for the same company for like 40 years. My dad kind of bounced around a little, but he worked at least a good solid 20 years at one company. And that's, I've been at my current job for 5 years now, and that feels like forever, and I'm desperately looking to do something else. So, I mean, he knows somebody that's hiring. Exactly. It's
really different than what they were used to. And then putting those expectations on, like, you know, can't you just go get the job that pays all the money and, you know, stop.
Oh, yeah.
Stop
or, oh, my God, millennials aren't buying houses. Like, no, of course they're not buying houses. Like, what are you even talking about? And, like, I'm a homeowner, and I'm extraordinarily lucky to be so, like, because it was something that was important to my husband and I, but also, like, one of our toilets is fucked up, and it's just going to be fucked up for a little while because we can't afford to get a plumber in here to fix it. Like, there's goods and bads about being a homeowner, and I also think people were scared out. Like, I have my sister-in-law bought a house in, like, 2006 or something like that, and it was still the time where, like, okay, I have a steady job, I'm in my mid to late 20s, I guess I'll buy a house. And then the downturn happened, and the house was worthless. It was in a suburb that was going to, like, be the next big Naperville, Illinois, or whatever, like, the next big place. And then 2008 happened, and everything just stopped. So she was stuck with this, like, worthless garbage apartment, you know, condo that fucked her for till now. Like, she's still dealing with the repercussions of that. And, like, we see that, and we're not idiots. Like, yes, paying rent sucks in a lot of ways because you're never going to see that money again. But also, if something happens, I could be underwater on this house so easily. Mm-hmm. So easily.
Yeah, I just bought a house. As you're saying how houses are expensive, I bought a house in the fall. I could not have done it without my parents significantly helping me. So I am privileged. I got everything going for me, white, straight, male, parents, very supportive parents. I have to own any mistake I make, and this is this partially like legitimately source of my anxiety. Is any mistake, anything that goes wrong in my life is solely on me because I have everything going for me. That's terrifying to me, and I hate the idea of anything breaking. Like, even when I first moved in, we had to replace a bunch of pipes because something was leaking. Mm-hmm. That's just. Homeownership is a scam. Can we go into this?
Homeownership
is a scam, and I'm tired of those damn neighbor kids coming into my yard, walking through my yard.
You've become the guy that's like,
oh my God, I didn't know you were a curmudgeon. Congratulations.
He's a curmudgeon. He is the guy, those damn kids with the rock and roll.
Can I tell the story about my bushes?
Tell the story about your bushes. Sure.
Oh my God.
So
this is really.
So I have. I don't know what they are. One of them is some sort of berry bush. Some of them. One is. It's just a weed that I think somebody goes, well, this looks like it's supposed to be there, but it's absolutely a weed of some kind. It's not very good looking, but it's there, and I'm too lazy to pull it out because it's about 20 feet tall. both of these things. And so I cut down all these branches.
Is it a tree? There's... Are you confusing it with a tree?
It's a bush.
You have no idea about botany or any sort of...
It's a bush.
Okay. All right.
It's a bush. I will post pictures of this. It's a enthusiast. Bush of some kind because it's got multiple shoots coming out of the ground all in the same place. It doesn't have a trunk. But at any rate, I'm trimming all this down because mowing the grass is awful and mowing around it's awful. So I said, I'm just going to cut this all down. I have a 5 to 6 foot tall pile that's maybe 4 feet deep. I put it in my backyard in this area, like this break in the tree line, whatever, where kids always walk through. The very next day, it's almost entirely gone. Not just moved, like just gone. Like somebody backed up a truck, loaded it up, and took it all away.
This is just
is that good or bad?
That's bad because I don't know who's doing this and what happened. What happened to all the? That was a lot of branches and stuff.
It was just the branch ninja came in at night and just in the suburbs of Indianapolis, just rolling around looking for branches.
The other lesson here is I should write books because that was a great story.
That was a terrible story.
No, I was riveted for one.
I mean, this story is.
I could also tell the story of the kid who walked through my backyard
and you yelled at them.
Carrying a rifle and three more rifles in his backpack.
Hashtag America.
And
He's
walking, as he's walking through, I'm standing in my living room saying, "Hey kids, get away. I'm doing a live video on Facebook now in case he decides that he wants to come into my house." And
I forgot about that. I did forget about the guns.
It was
that happened.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable.
About the guns? That's kind of the exclamation point of the story.
Let's be honest. I forgot about the story full stop. And then I forgot about the guns. But I am in Indiana and so I'm from, Jessica, I live right outside of D.C. And Indiana's a little different, it seems like, because I was driving yesterday and I drove by a dentist's office, and it had a sign outside.
That's on 135.
The dentist's office was saying God stuff on the sign. And I was thinking, where the fuck am I? But then let's connect it to the fact that supposedly, I mean, we live in a Christian nation, right? We worship God. That's what I call a segue there, because we're going to talk about Trump's tweet. This is why
I did such a great setup to get us out of it and tell my terrible story.
Yeah, so this is why we're professionals. But so Donald Trump, though, we don't worship government. Uh-huh. No, we don't. But we worship God.
This is a tweet from him two days ago.
Yeah.
And it's all in caps. I have it pulled up here. It's all in caps.
Yeah.
Which we've been staring at it for the last 10 minutes here.
Caps lock. I have a horrible habit of focusing on the wrong thing. So for me, like, the thing that's really fucking annoying is that it's in all caps. So it says, "In America, we don't worship government - we worship God!" Exclamation point. And then there's like a
camera emoji. I appreciate his emoji use, though. I love emojis. Ironically, we don't want to talk about emojis or how the council of emojis made new emojis. Okay.
Yeah. We're talking about
emojis. So here's the thing: is like on its face, none of that makes sense. Like nobody is posing. Yeah. Is like positing that we worship government. So like on its face, it makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
Which again annoys me. And so for me, like this kind of rhetoric from political figures, as an atheist, it should make me more angry than it does that he's like, "We worship God." They're like, "No, we don't all worship God, asshole." Like, A, no. B, you shouldn't say shit like that. C, do you mean like all gods? Do you mean Allah? Or are we just focused on the bearded one? So yeah, it's all fucking garbage, but like
the white bearded one.
The white bearded one.
Sorry. Excuse me. God forbid we worship any brown people.
Ugh, no. Horror. It's just the white bearded guy. Yeah, so that's what he's talking about.
And I don't know. Like this is grandstanding at its finest. Like, this is empty rhetoric that means absolutely nothing. It's a meaningless statement that feels impactful because it's in all caps, I guess.
I guess. Somebody told him, just hit the caps lock and it
and everyone takes
the world.
You seriously.
That's it, yeah.
I heard, and I don't know the validity of this, that he doesn't... See, this is getting speculative, and I shouldn't be doing that. But I've heard that he doesn't necessarily, he will have other, he'll dictate his tweets to other people and actually have them write it. So I can see somebody else sitting down because I can't really? See, I can't see Trump using Instagram, and this is an Instagram video that he linked to. But I can't see Trump going through, like, or maybe he can with his tiny little hands scrolling through pages and pages of emojis.
So that everything doesn't really jive with what I know about him. I was just gonna say more of the same. Like, it's just grandstanding, and it's just like giving people what they want to hear, even though it's fucking meaningless. Like, that, I mean, I think that's a big issue that I have with, like, this sort of Christian rhetoric that tends to surround government and our leaders, is it's all empty sort of garbage. Like, it doesn't mean anything, but it sounds nice and it sounds good on its face, so they're fine with that. Or they like the way the person sounds. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to, like, church or something like that, but, like, it's easy to get swept up in that kind of thing. When you hear the rhetoric, when you hear, but, like,
we both grew up Catholic. So I was even an altar boy for
I was an altar girl. Years. I was an altar girl. Yeah.
See,
so
you
did the thing.
My dog is trying to get in the room. My family was Catholic growing up. And I do find Catholicism, like Catholic Church, to be some of the least compelling stuff I've ever witnessed.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you'd see sermons and whatever. It's meaningful, but And I've kind of talked about this before. When you grow up being spoken, like going to church every Sunday, right? So what you have is generally a man, not always, who stands in front of you once a week for an hour and says really nice sounding things and speaks well and is compelling and interesting to listen to, but ultimately sort of ties it back to, like, so that's why you have to have faith or something like that. Like, nothing concrete, like nothing's in the center of it. Like, it's like a Tootsie Pop with nothing in the middle. It's just sort of like air.
So disappointing. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Tootsie Pops in general are disappointing, though.
We can talk about that later. Cause
I was
going to
say that's the topic of another podcast. I know.
Last week.
I lost my train of thought. There's nothing to grab onto in the middle, but you feel good when you leave and you sort of are uplifted. And so I think that sort of trains you as a person to allow yourself to be swept up by emotion and this person's a compelling talker and they're hitting buzzwords that I really like, as opposed to, like, say, a Hillary Clinton, who personally I find her to be a compelling speaker. I really like Hillary a lot. But, like, in the debates, they would ask her a question. She said, okay, you asked me, how am I going to fix Obamacare? And she would literally say, one, this, two, this, three, this. And for me, I'm like, cool, you laid out concrete plans and you said the things that you're planning on doing. And then Trump says words that are probably English.
Probably a sentence, maybe.
Sort of. I think sentence is very generous of you.
Yeah, that's maybe a nice.
Have you ever read
words together?
Have you ever read a transcript of, like, when he's just speaking?
Oh, it's
off
bad.
He doesn't say complete sentences.
No,
but
no.
Like, if you're not tuned into, like, trying to get to, like, the meat of something, and you're just willing to, like, get swept away with a feeling, then that sounds like real shit. And I don't know how I got on this particular tangent, but that's how I feel about that. Oh, it's because, so he sends out this tweet that says, we don't worship government, we worship God. It's a fucking meaningless statement. Nobody would say we worship government.
Yeah, it's not even wrong.
Yeah.
It's not even a straw man.
It's just some words.
Just nonsense.
That, like, he used worship twice. Like, cool, dude. But when people see this and they're like, ugh. Finally, like, somebody saying something. Like, no, he's saying garbage and you're being swept up in it. It just makes me so fucking mad. I just, you guys
was
say
this,
a thing now. I need to go to my quiet place.
But, like, was this all the same day as when he was talking about the trans men and women in the military?
Yeah, this,
like,
thing.
This was a dumpster fire day.
This thing flew under my radar because I didn't get a push alert about this particular thing, and that's where I got most of my news. But yeah, it all happened in the same. Oh, wait, was this was Monday? Wait, I have it in front of me. Why can't I see?
It's all the days are the 26th. Same. It feels anymore. It's
yeah.
You wake
today's
up
the 26th.
And Those 2 days ago.
Anyway, yeah, 2 days ago. 2 days ago. So yeah, because I think so, yeah, I was here when all this was happening. Like, I was in Indiana already, so I feel like this was all Wednesday, maybe. That all, like, that he just was on this tweet storm of ridiculousness. And yeah, because I feel like I was extra shocked that the God tweet happened because all of those other tweets had happened in the morning. And I don't know, it just, I have the moments of disbelief that this is the person that's, do I say in charge of things? I don't know. He's just the person and he has a Twitter.
He's the figurehead.
He's the figurehead, yes. So this is what, and this is what the world sees too when they look at us.
Honestly, that is sort of my big takeaway for all of this, is that America, we love to think of ourselves as these global leaders and charging forward. And I think that however transparently put on that was, which I think it's been a long time since anybody looked to America for actual good sense. Mm-hmm. I think those days are behind us. That we can even posture like we're some sort of leaders. And it's not, I mean, it is Trump. It's a lot of Trump. It's Trump all day. But
Trump for days.
Trump for days. But it's also things like healthcare or like women's issues that we're still grappling with, which is befuddling. It's befuddling. It's, we're still not sure if every person has the right to go see a doctor if they're sick. Like, that's mm-hmm. still like a moral quandary that our government is grappling with. And I'm baffled by it. And I assume the rest of the world is too, because when you have your, let's say Canada, cause they're pretty close to us. Mm-hmm. When you have your candidates who have had universal health care for a minute and somehow still are like functioning as a country and people can afford to live, they're not being taxed out of existence. Okay, well, hey, they found a model that works. Can we just, like, look at their paper and see, like, cheat off them a little bit? Because they clearly have some things going down. But, like, and so when you say things like that and the fact that we don't have maternity leave or the fact, like, any of this shit, how, on what grounds, I guess, are we pretending that we're this world leader? Like, because we have a super big military? Like, yeah. In 10 years, like, we're the best. Come fight anymore. Us. It's fucking weird. And to be honest, like, I don't give a shit if America is like a world. Like, I don't care. Like, what the fuck do I care? It doesn't mean anything. It's just like these blowhard guys who need to like say they're number one because they're like this toxic masculinity of if I'm not number one, I'm nothing. And everybody has to lose for me to win. And that's honestly a problem. Sorry, I'm rambling. But that's a big problem with Trump, is that people said, oh, he's going to run the United States like a business. And that's what we need. We need a business guy. Not here, like, businesses turn profits. A country isn't supposed to turn a profit. Like, it's supposed to be balanced, but it is supposed to be taking care of its people. Like, how did anybody... It's another one of those things that, like, it sounds good on its face, right? Like, we're going to run this place like a business. He's a businessman. He's going to business it. And when you look at what it means to run a, let's say, even like a nonprofit business versus a conglomerate that like slaps its name on buildings all over the world and makes me want to fucking kill myself every time I drive down a Wacker, it's not the same. It doesn't line up. And also, the guy can't run a business. So, like, that's dead in its tracks.
So there's that to start. It's like, let's run it like a business. But by a person who can't run a business.
Right.
And who can't even, you know, sort of speak coherent sentences. Yeah. But you would think, what I used to do for work, I was a principal at a small school, but I was also, because it was small, I was in charge of pretty much everything, including, you know, the 15 people that worked there on staff. And one of the most important things, if not the most important things, was making sure that all of the people that worked there and then the families that we served, that they were happy and their needs were met. Mm-hmm. And so that's on such a small scale. But if you're the person in charge or the people in charge of anything, I mean, you have to be thinking about just the other people involved and all mm-hmm. of it. And I feel like right now, we like
I think there's a large body of evidence to suggest that they don't think about others, and that's maybe like you. I equate rich white guy to conservationism. Yeah. Whoa, what?
Nope,
not the same. No, definitely not the same there.
But yeah, and so that kind of gets us into a topic I'm trying to get away from Trump again. Something
it's like a black
that,
hole, you just suck it
in. Right? I know. Back into that topic. That's what in.
See, science. I know science things. I said a science thing.
There you go. Yes, you did. I don't know why that hit me as so funny. Like I know what show I'm
science.
On.
Science.
enthusiastic I was.
All right. We can cut that clip and throw it over that.
Okay, see other things.
Get together, broadband. So a question Natalie wrote here, I guess in her own words, why do people lose their shit over talking about feminism?
Cal kind of put that on the post on Facebook, but that was kind of what I took away from it, is people get so heated talking about feminism, and it just, why the fuck?
I wish I knew. But what I do think it sort of comes down to is, to support feminist ideals, you have to first accept the fact that there is a power dynamic in this country and in the world, most of the world. There are matriarchies. Anyway.
Either one.
I stroked out again. but that there is a, we live in a patriarchal society, right? Like, the world is catered to men, and women are being kind of shoved in there because turns out we have brains and want to do shit too. Like, and I think that step for many men and many women is hard to accept, especially when you're raised, and it doesn't always come back to religion, but there are many religions that are very specific when they preach that the man's the head of the household and the woman is the whatever, or like
only men can be preachers.
Yes, yeah, I mean, even little things like that, or like that there's like Jesus and then the husband and then the wife or something. I haven't gone to church a lot.
Yeah.
There's some weird relationship stuff with Jesus and the man and the woman.
Like, we had this is a callback to a few weeks ago, because we always have a segment of why we love the internet, which is kind of a shitposty type segment where it's just the stupid thing we saw, or the stupid subreddit, or the stupid Facebook page. Okay. We say stupid in a loving manner.
Yes.
But one of them a few weeks ago was this couple's legitimate engagement photos where they had somebody dressed up as Jesus with them standing in between them every time.
Oh,
he was.
No.
He was just like, it was all Jesus was in their business, and it was
just the best.
It was the best thing. But yes, that's part of the belief system of some people, that it is not, there's a woman, but she marries a man. But then there's also this other sky dude that's just over everything too.
Just hanging out.
Just seeing how things
are going. Just sneaking a
peek. Yeah, just in between everything. But yeah, there's this belief structure that lends itself to, the hierarchy of men and women.
And there's also this element, and I see it a lot of, this I hear a lot from women mostly, is that like men and women have different places, and just because men are CEOs and X and Y and Z, and women also have like the immense privilege of birthing children or whatever, and if you happen to be a woman who sincerely loves being a mom and being a homemaker and cooking and all of that, and I grant you, there are many people who find that immensely satisfying. Like right now, I'm out of work, and like I cook elaborate dinners for my husband every night, and I'm right now really enjoying it. Like I get the appeal of like, you have your little domain and you take care of your kids and whatever. And if you find that sincerely enjoyable, it's hard to relate to somebody who's like, no, fuck that. I want to do a job. I want to be out of the office. I want to be intellectually challenged by work as opposed to being at home. And I think women find that threatening because I think women hear that. And I grant you, there's women on the feminist side who don't do a great job of saying, hey, if this is what makes you happy, feminism is all about the choice that you get to make, not the choice that's foisted upon you. So I see how there's that sort of disconnect there, but it's really threatening to be like, "What? I'm sorry, is this life that makes me so happy, is that not good enough for you? Like, why do I have to want more or different than this?" And so I get that. And so I think those are the sort of the speed bumps, but like to acknowledge one's privilege is really hard. It is really hard. And I try to give people the benefit of the doubt as much as I can in that regard, because it's extraordinarily difficult to like you were saying, Dan, like, you have all these things going for you, and that doesn't mean you don't have pride. And I think this is the other thing I try to make very clear. Just because you're a white, say you're a white, upper middle class, fairly wealthy, straight dude with, you know, with a lot of shit, that doesn't mean you don't have problems. That does not mean you don't have problems. You have, you know, everybody has a toilet that's fucked up that they're dealing with in their life, or they're in a fight with somebody. It's a metaphorical fucked up toilet. Like, roll with me on this one. And I think people think that when you say you have privilege and you turn around and say, well, my marriage is falling apart, or my kid hates me, or my toilet's broken, or whatever, like, how fucking dare you say I have privilege? Look at all these problems I have. But what has to be clear is we have, like, women, people of color, LGBT people, we all have those problems too. And also, we're fighting an uphill battle of double standards, of trying to fit into this, like, traditionally masculine society, of being responsible. So say I work full-time. Most women, even those who work full-time, I think, like, 70% of housework, childcare, all that stuff is still taken care of by women, even when they work full-time. So it is what it comes down to, I think, is listening and taking a step back and saying it's not about Jessica and Dan and Natalie. It's about these bigger trends that, like, do, unless you really think women are inherently less smart or less ambitious or less talented or worse leaders or worse public speakers, unless you really believe that, which I think people do, then can't we look at the fact that we've never had a female president and say, well, really, in 200 and whatever years, not a single woman has been qualified? Not a single woman? Really? Nobody? Really nobody at all? Like, and so, but again, and so to come back to your question that you asked me 35 minutes ago, that's the reason that people get their hackles off about feminism, is because it is women saying to men, hey, we're kind of being fucked. Can you help us out? And people don't want to do that. And people don't want to acknowledge that there's a problem, because it's much, much easier not to acknowledge that there's a problem. I will tell you this. When I don't leave my basement and I watch, like, 5 episodes of Game of Thrones and do, like, 4 cross stitches, I'm much happier than when I'm watching, like, Donald Trump be an asshole. But, like, that doesn't mean the basement is my real reality. There's still a world that's happening around me that I have to, like, come up for air once in a while. So that is my diatribe on feminism, I guess.
But I think it's important, though, that, like, you know, you're saying that we all acknowledge that this exists in the world, mm-hmm. and have conversations about it, because mm-hmm. it's not something, you know, to just ignore. It exists.
Yeah.
And even if it makes people uncomfortable, it exists, and it is deserving of conversation, because, I mean, we can't just pretend. Like, we're just all equal right now, and no.
Yeah, and it's hard to be introspective and say, okay, am I treating this person differently because they are a person of color or an immigrant or a woman or whatever? Because it's really fucking hard to, like, say, oh, I kind of acted weird toward that person. Is it maybe because of this? Because that means I have to admit that I have racial bias or whatever.
Right.
And that sucks. Like, nobody wants to do that. Like, nobody likes that.
That's another that's another source of anxiety for like legitimate, yeah. Because I catch myself. I mean, I can't stop reflecting on things that I've done or said, mm-hmm. or if things that have happened, and absolutely have said what, or even play the game with myself. What if this person, what if that was a male? What if that was mm-hmm. a female? What if that was a, you know, whatever ethnicity or gender or anything. And that's hard to do, but I, like you said, I pretty quickly, especially when I started first getting into social work, realized I am way fucking privileged, mm-hmm. and I had no idea, just reality. So I think part of it also is these people that are in these little bubbles, and they insulate themselves from anything else, or they never leave their, just thinking of more locally here, they never leave their tiny little town in Indiana, mm-hmm. and to see anybody that, you know, may be a person of color or may, and of course people, transgender people exist everywhere, and just a lot of them, especially in those smaller communities, can't be open or honest about
it. Leave their small towns.
Right, exactly. And so they haven't encountered that. And then even the person who is transgender, gay, bi, you know, whatever, you know, they haven't encountered that either. So they don't feel as confident in coming mm-hmm. out as that, or in to maybe even go a bit more broader and kind of call back to with when we had Callie Wright on a few weeks ago. You know, or even if you're non-religious and you're in a small community like that, you don't know how many other people out there mm-hmm. are just like you. You don't have that. And I think that's something we're kind of running into a time where those things are all clashing together now on social media, on Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, wherever. And we have these people who want to just be left the hell alone and want to think what they think and don't want to be challenged. But then you have all these other people realizing, oh, this is more common than, you know, trans people do exist. You know, it's okay, you know, to question your gender, question your sexuality and things like that. And I think that's part of what's been happening a lot in why you get such a violent type reaction, at least to whenever you talk about people having privilege and things like that. So I guess mm-hmm. that's mine.
Well, and it's also hard to get to the root of opinions and make people sort of think. And the example I'm going to use is the Ghostbusters movie that came out last year, because I still am having to have conversations with people. Like, I still get tweets of like, why do you like that movie? It's objectively bad. Or so I'll use that, or like Hillary Clinton when she speaks. When people say things like, I don't know what it is. I don't like how she sounds, or yeah. So you hear those things like you can
see. Like, I can be very specific about Clinton. Whenever she talks, I don't like the way she's obviously she's not of a younger generation, but she tries to use the lingo, but she doesn't use it correctly, or she says something that she thinks is a sick burn. Like whenever she said "trumped up, trickle down," or whatever it was during the debate. It's like that's not you think that sounds funny. It's but it's more of a, it just makes me groan.
So you're just being ageist against Hillary.
I can be, is that what I'm doing right now? Is that my level of privilege?
I'm just fucking with you.
No, I'm more than happy to be told why I'm wrong or saying stupid things.
But you can not like Hillary Clinton. Like that's,
I didn't say I didn't. I just don't like the way she talks sometimes. Or I shouldn't say the way she talks. I should say I have to walk
you're
this
just,
back.
You're like, just like, I'm
in a hole now, and I don't know how to get out of it.
But yeah, but it's the same conversations though. It's Ghostbusters. It's Hillary Clinton. Yeah. It's like it's
Wonder Woman.
It's the same. Yeah.
You say there was just something I didn't like about it, and yeah, you can if you have a specific thing I don't like that she like tries to be clever when she isn't a terribly funny person. Like she isn't a very funny person. I think she
it's not coming from a place of genuineness to me, and I think that's part of what made Obama such a good speaker, is that you felt like it was genuine.
Yeah, but Obama is a once-in-a-lifetime speaker. Yeah. Like,
right.
I think to hold people to Obama's level of public speaking is impossible.
Right.
He was a genuinely like once-in-a-lifetime kind of person that came around. But like, did you feel the same way about like, did you feel Bernie Sanders was a super genuine person? Did you have the same, just, and I'm not trying to like pin you on anything. I'm just curious if.
No. I always thought, I never thought Bernie actually had a chance. And so I always just kind of looked at him as the kooky old dude who's trying to get younger voters excited and just get them out there. But I don't think he ever, from somebody who has no professional experience or really any knowledge of politics, I don't feel like he ever thought he was going to. I also felt like Pence was running just to set himself up to run again in 4 years as president after Hillary won. Bernie just felt just very delusional with some of the things that he was saying to me. And so I didn't really have a problem with anything Hillary said. I voted for Hillary and supported her and owned that publicly on my page. But yeah, Bernie, I just never took seriously, I guess.
Yeah.
His hair didn't help either.
That's another thing, right? Like Bernie Sanders, his suits never fit. His hair was always like a mess. He was just like this crazy old professor dude. And try to imagine a woman who came out with like her hair all mess.
Oh God! Oh yeah, no.
And like saying all of this like way left socialist stuff, which I don't disagree with. Like I was on board with a lot of what Bernie had to say. I didn't think he necessarily had a concrete plan to back up what he wanted to do, which was my main concern. But like the fact that this like kooky old guy from Vermont like was in it to win it, like arguably was like could have been the Democratic nominee, and a woman coming out with like unkempt hair and like spouting and doing this gesture that he kept doing like during the debates.
Oh my God.
There right now would not be able to be a female, like a woman Bernie Sanders.
No.
She wouldn't be able to exist in that sphere.
And we're getting outside of my comfort zone here because I don't know a whole lot of political history. But has there ever been a female member of Congress that was even kind of
similar
to that?
I can't even pretend to know
what the answer to that would be. But I would guess my speculation would be. If there was, or if there is, or will be, that person would be like subject to a certain level of scrutiny that on things that don't actually matter, but that perhaps a man would not be subject to the same scrutiny over.
I can imagine how people would respond to that. It wouldn't be in a positive light.
Yeah. So,
But yeah, it's hard, and I've kind of challenged some people to say it was like. It's okay if you didn't like Ghostbusters or didn't like Harry, but like really take a step back and ask yourself, like, were you as mad about the Independence Day reboot as you were about the Ghostbusters reboot? Or like, and they're not gonna, like, it's very infrequent that anybody actually considers that point because it's like, nobody wants to think that they're sexist or racist or biased in any way, but we all are. Like we all, do either of you listen to Invisibilia? It's like an NPR podcast.
I have not.
No.
It's all about just sort of psychology and stuff like this, but there's a really compelling episode about a white man who he and his wife adopted a black girl. So he was very cognizant of like, be careful, people might treat you differently, yada, yada, yada. And then he had this incident one day that he saw a black man walking down the street toward a white woman. And he said, I just had this moment, like, I'm just going to keep an eye on this just to make sure it's okay.
Yeah.
And then the guy got to the bus stop. He's like, oh, he's just a fucking dude waiting for the bus. And like just spiraled because he realized he has the exact same biases that so many of us have. And he is the one telling his black daughter, like, people are going to treat you differently because of what you look like. And then to have to look at himself in the mirror and say, yeah, we are, like, we're all doing that. It was extraordinarily compelling and hard.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I absolutely have that thought. Like I was not raised that way. I can't blame it on my parents. Damn it. But I absolutely know. I know that feeling exactly because I had situations like that where I go, I'm nervous right now, or I'm driving and I see somebody walking by and I go, I need to lock my doors to my car and just in case they come over. And then I have to challenge myself. Why the fuck do you think that why this person in particular and not the next person? And then I go, holy shit, I don't like myself right now. That's bad. So, and I think that, I think another part of that is people like you and me, Natalie, we think about those things. We think about the thought process behind things and the why of things and not so much the what of things. And I think most people don't necessarily, and this could, we could apply this even to Trump and whoever, they don't think on that level. They just think the one thing, they're comfortable with that. They don't want to challenge that. And they just want to watch Game of Thrones. And so they go off or football or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they go do that. So they just don't think about that. They don't have that conversation. And I guess if we can figure out a way to get people to think like that, I mean, we win skepticism and
then that's it. It's about being open, first of all, to conversations with other people and to welcoming in ideas that challenge, you know, our preconceived notions. But then it's also about being able to reflect, kind of take the time with yourself too. So it's not just having conversations with other people, but it's also being like, I guess having, yeah, the ability to be self-reflective and all of that. And I don't know, we do kind of live in this time where it does feel very explosive and dumpster fiery out there. And so it's figuring out how to navigate being the best human possible to other people while still making sure that we take care of ourselves too. And that's
just be nice to people.
Be nice to people and be good to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes challenging on both counts, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But just don't be a dick.
It is. And it's, I mean, there's also the question of like, when you say be nice to people, what does that mean to you? Because I will tell you right now, for a lot of people, to be nice to somebody else means you're gay and I need to fix you and that's the best thing I can do for you.
Yeah.
So, like, even that, right, which just sounds so easy on its face, is like, don't be an asshole is like basically my life motto. I don't live up to it almost ever, but like, it seems so easy, but at the same time, what are our goals? Like, what, when we say be nice to somebody, to me that, like, can you be nice to somebody and also challenge their worldview? Like, people have a huge, really hard time separating their beliefs with their person. So if we, you know, we talked earlier about you don't challenge the person, you challenge the ideas or whatever. To some people, those two things are so intertwined that they are one and the same. You can't separate a person from their belief in God because that's everything to them. And that's when it gets challenging to say like, hey, I understand you believe this with absolute sincerity and with like everything you have, but here's your thing. And as soon as you say but, then like later I'll see on the flip side, like, I'm not here for this. So
not here to have everything, like their core beliefs taken away from them.
Yeah. And nor do I I don't want to take anybody's core beliefs from that. I think in most cases, people who are religious are generally, I don't want to say harmless, but like they're not out to like firebrand the world. I don't like, if you want to go to church every single day and tithe 50% of your income, that's 1,000% on you. But it's just the moment that you think what you believe, because it's so important to you, it thereby is important to me personally and my country or my city, that's when I'm like, well, okay, let's back it up a little bit. And like, you don't get to project that shit onto other people.
Keeping the personal beliefs personal and out of the public sphere in ways that it can impact other people and lives and all of that.
And isn't it funny when people talk about, especially it's like with gay marriage, like, you can be gay, just don't like shove my face in it or whatever. Like, what does that mean you?
And that's them thinking that you're not being nice to them as well. Right. You're making me listen to this, watch this, or see what you guys are doing. Now you're not being nice to me. So now I have to say something because I don't think you're being nice to me because I don't want to see no men.
Two boys holding hands. Men. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, it's a very dumb, it's hard. It's so fucking hard. but
all of it is hard. And these I know are the conversations that, I mean, I'm I know you have conversations all the time on your own podcast. We have conversations that could just last for hours mm-hmm. about how to talk to people, how to make positive change, how to do all of this. And it's, I mean, obviously it's a slow burn. The world's on fire, but we have to do, I guess, whatever we can to try to extinguish some of it.
Yeah.
And just have conversations about good ideas.
And I think podcasts like yours and mine, I hope are helpful because you live in Indy, which is a relatively, I don't know, what's Indy in terms of,
it's
pretty liberal, isn't it?
It's, I mean, I don't know the demographic breakdown, and I think we have a conservative mayor right now, but even then, it's, I feel, as a straight white male, that it's, it's a fairly liberal, especially, well, if we can compare it to rural Southern Indiana, where I'm sure. familiar, it's absolutely left leaning.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people so I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, which is, it's not even a super liberal place, but it's not the red state, Southern Indiana, mm-hmm. Southern Illinois thing. And so for me, I always took it for granted that, like, I sort of found my atheism, as I guess I'll put it, when I was a sophomore in college, and never felt like scared about it or that I couldn't talk to people about it. Even people mm-hmm. who were religious, I never felt concerned about, like, will there be blowback in my life on this? And I don't know, where are you from, the DC area?
I'm from Connecticut, moved to DC area after college, but again, never had any experience where I felt any shame or any, mm-hmm. Any real negative feelings about being who I am in all regards. Yeah. And so I feel very fortunate to have had that. Yeah. And I know there are a lot of people out there who don't have that experience.
Mm-hmm. So and yeah,
stuff.
Like, my dad and I can yell about politics, but at the end of the day, like, he's not going to disown me. Like, he makes yeah. fun of me for my feminism pretty frequently, but it's not like in a, we're going to cut you out of the family. So, yeah. and all that is to say that I forget that I'm guilty as this as anybody. I forget that that's not a lot of people's circumstances. And so when mm-hmm. I get emails from somebody who lives in the rural South or wherever, where it is like gods and guns all day long, mm-hmm. and I think that's kind of the beauty of the internet, is that they can find communities that are, you know, share the same beliefs as them, and like, it keeps them from feeling, what I've heard is it makes me feel less alone to hear somebody else who has my same opinions. And because I don't know if you've ever lived in a super conservative area, but I lived in Montana for a while. And man, you have to like bite your tongue so frequently there, because just at some point, like, I'm not going to get into this right now. And that's an exhausting feeling. And to live your whole life like that must be rough. So, you know, thanks for doing what you guys do.
And all so that kind of stuff. To bring our podcast to a close here.
We went a bit long.
That's on me, my friends.
No, this is good. But so where, to bring this to a close, where can people find you on the internet? Your work, everything you do?
So the best place to go would be friendlyatheistpodcast.com. It's got all of our backlog episodes. Our first 2 years was mostly interviews. Since late 2016, we've been doing more topical stuff. I don't know why, we just happened to be doing it around then.
Stuff happened. Yeah. Huh.
I don't know. So you can find me there. You can follow me on Twitter at Blueberry, BlueBurie. That is mostly me posting pictures of my dog, but she's cute. So, and then I've got an Etsy shop, Bitches Get Stitched Done. It's like weird cross stitches that are either very niche podcasts that I listen to or like general feminist. Most of them have swears. That's sort of my jam. But
that's awesome.
Create original stuff. So if anybody wants anything, please let me know.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this with us. Come back again sometime. Talk to us.
Yeah, no, this is a ton of fun. Thanks, guys.
This week, the reason we love the internet is the Facebook page Wholesome Memes.
Wholesome Memes. I love Wholesome Memes because they're kind of the opposite of some of the other memes that I like. So, okay, so if you're scrolling through this page, there's just cute stuff. So there's one that's a Facebook, obviously like a status update that says 12 more days till I matter. Which, and I matter is all one word, which you later find out is the name of some kind of festival. But so,
okay, I thought it was an Apple product.
Yeah, no. So there's a comment below it. It says, "You matter every second of every day, lovey. You don't have to wait 12 days." And then the person who made the status says, "Thank you, Aunt something. But I matter is a huge music festival. I can't wait for." But it's fucking adorable. Like these are just now the memes that I think are just real cute, and I'm sorry.
AF.
They're wholesome AF. They really.
Right, we got to
really,
keep the lingo hip to what the children like.
So then there's one. If you scroll down more, and it has a lot of smiley faces drawn with a pen, and it just says 29,249 smiles is what it takes to drain a standard ballpoint pen. It's just cute. Oh, I realize I tagged Buck in that one earlier today. Because it's just because see, I'm trying to you know get off the nihilist memes a little bit because you know just as an alternate like yeah just something different right this is are these too wholesome for you
I mean if that's your thing
yeah
I'm not
so
here
you know
to
you're
judge.
Not here to rain on my parade
I'm really
you're not gonna judge me.
It's again, this goes back to, this is a callback to that time I said, you should be genuine to who you are. I'm really trying.
So yeah. And then there's one where it's like a woman and man in bed and the lady's looking kind of judgmentally like back towards the guy. Yeah. And it says her, bet he's probably thinking about another woman and him. I'm really happy that my mom is healthy and alive. So, I'm sorry, Dan.
Well, a lot of these are ones because, I mean, you see a meme and people will change it. And some of these are edited. Like, that one's clearly edited because it has a tag NFL memes in it. So, you know, it's edited. I can't...
you can't even find one that you like because they're just not... These are
I
not
saw this on Reddit earlier
all.
Today, and it's they reposted it here. But it's this guy in Canada puts out a sign that says "Bring back my wheelbarrow," and then it shows in a second panel he put out a sign "Thank you for bringing my wheelbarrow back" or "Bring back my wheelbarrow." So that's wholesome and
okay. So all right, then I have one just
that,
to end.
Did that
it.
Sound genuine? Did that
that's, no? But so we'll just end it on this one that says. Mother's Day cards are lit this year in my fourth grade class, and there's a card written by a child that says, "Dear Mom, I wouldn't be at your funeral. I would be tracking your killer. We ride together. We die together.
Why?
You are always mine. I love you."
What is Mom doing that you think Mom, like the reason your mother is
going to die?
You think
Mom's going to get murdered? You think Mom's going to get murdered? I don't know. Don't know their life story, but
what has happened in that person's life?
I don't know, but we're going to end it on that wholesome note because. Moms
oh no!
Live in
I found one
life.
That I do like.
Okay,
there's a the guy that it's the stock photo that almost everybody, if you've been on the internet, if you like the show, if you're the fans we know and love, you've seen this meme where the guy just kind of looks sad and has his hands up, kind of like, "What you gonna do?" And everybody just says, "Guess I'll die." On it as the caption, it's a picture of that guy saying that 3 years ago he got a stock photo shot of him and it went viral as a meme on Facebook, and he's celebrating that by wearing a shirt of a cartoon drawing of the stock photo of him saying "Guess I'll die," and he's of course doing the same pose.
Yeah. So there's that. That's a very internet-y thing.
That's fantastic, and it looks like it appears that it was. Posted by the guy to his wife's page, and then some dick somewhere or hero, why not both, shared it with us because it looks like it was a friends only post. But anyway, the things I notice.
Things you notice. All right, thank the people who make this possible.
So if you enjoy listening to us, you should throw money at us because we like money and that helps us keep things going. And if you want to do that, you can go to patreon.com/TSE podcast or click the link in the notes and you get access to early episodes, bonus content, and no commercials. So that's there's that. But, you know, you could be cool and join the ranks of Trevor and Nathan and Alice and Cynthia and Michael and Lizzie in the lab and Magnus and Sev, Hannah and Felix and Chris and James and Michael and Michael and Sarah and Josue. And we would really appreciate that. You can also rate us 5 stars or we'll say the appropriate amount of stars that you feel we deserve on various apps, platforms, Apple, Stitcher, wherever. That helps us get boosted in the whatever searches thingamajobbers. It gets us more listeners, motivates us to keep doing this, and also gives us feedback, and we want your feedback. But if you don't want to do that, you can email us at podcast@ascienceenthusiast.com. Check out our full archive, scienceenthusiastpodcast.com. Message us on Facebook, on wherever the hell else we are, but not my personal account because I've been a naughty boy for talking about Islam, so I'm still banned from posting or responding to messages on my personal account for 3 more weeks. But message the page or email us. Did I miss anything?
I think you got it. So I'll do a quote and then we'll do our usual wrap up shit. So this is my favorite author, Tom Robbins, saying, "There's no such thing as a weird human being. It's just that some people require more understanding than others." I like that. Ooh. I like him.
We'll leave that hanging out there.
let's just leave it. But can I say?
You've not had the life experiences I've had. Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to say something that I think is cool about myself.
Say it.
Yeah, so I'll say it. So So I got to kind of live my like podcast interview goals yesterday because I got interviewed by I had a good week and I feel really fortunate.
You are contractually obligated by Not Narrow and Straight LLC to say that.
Yes, but I got interviewed by Noah for Scathing Atheist about science moms. So last night that is what I did with a little bit of my evening. And it will be in the episode, I guess, this week's episode of Scathing Atheist, Ooh. An interview about science moms. And, I mean, Noah was fantastic. And I remember it popped up in my Facebook memories like a week ago that I had shared, you know, last summer, one of his diatribes on Facebook saying, "Oh, this is amazing. Like, you guys should listen to it." And it's really cool how much could happen over the course of time, you know? And so to go from that to
we got invited to go to Steak and Shake at 2 a.m. with Aaron Raw.
Yeah. So
like that happens like, this weekend.
So that happened. So I think that for me, especially right now, having those moments of perspective where you realize like it's not all bad and good stuff happens and time passes and, you know, growth and change are not necessarily bad things. So I don't know. It just, for me, was really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, listen to Skinny Atheist. Listen to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously you have to. Yeah. If you like our show, you'll love theirs. But yeah, it's been weird. And a lot of what I feel like we've been doing very well is kind of just faking it and acting like we know what we're doing and that we've been there before when we're both terrified and generally don't want to talk to people if we're not in our because it's a character. So if we're not in character for the podcast or things like that,
No, unfortunately, this is me and what you get like all the time. Well, so I'm sorry.
I feel I'm in performance mode a lot of the times, but and this is just a little difficult to talk about, but I feel like it's an important something that happened today, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail about it, but we had a friend of well, mostly my girlfriend's, but I knew of her a little bit, take her own life today. and no real warning or anything. So we've been kind of trying to sort that out and make sense of it. And there's probably not a lot of sense that can be had in something like that, especially when it's so unexpected. But I guess we joke around a lot about things like that, about life, or maybe I just do, life being meaningless and things like that. But it's about what you make out of it and what you put into it. And we never know what someone else is going through, what their experiences are. So I guess just kind of what I'm trying to get at here is, we need to be sure that we're taking mental health issues seriously. If you have mental health issues, it's fucking hard to get help. I mean, I know it firsthand. My girlfriend knows it firsthand. It's hard to get help for yourself. But reach out to somebody. Talk to somebody. Even if you feel like someone is having a hard time with things, reach out to them. Talk to them. Who cares if you're annoying them or if they're going to get mad at you? If you can tell, if you know your friends and you know that they're having not a good time with things, bother them, let them know that you care, and just be there for them however you can. Because I mean, this kind of at least goes to kind of show us that you never really do know what's going on in somebody's head, no matter what, and that doesn't make her weak. It doesn't make them a bad person at all. I don't think it makes them selfish at all, because there's a lot of different factors, at least especially with our friend. But just be nice to each other and help each other out.
I think you said it all, and I think that on both counts, reach out when you need help, but also it's okay to be the person, to give a fuck about somebody who's going through
that. Yeah, and it's not easy. And I mean, because life is miserable suffering and then you die. But, there's a lot of people out there that probably care about you, or somebody cares about you. And so you just gotta, I don't know how to end this. This is not genuine to
my
character, is it?
No, I think that, reaching out, and when you care about somebody too, in that regard, just tell people you care about them when you have the opportunity. Like, I was having this conversation with somebody earlier today where, maybe we would all be a little better off if we actually, told people that we love them when we love them, and, that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I'm a believer in that whole, silly Bill and Ted, be excellent to each other type of thing. Because really, we are all that, we have, in a sense, is each other. And I think I'm not going to get emotional about this, but but having friends and having people that have your back is one of the greatest things. Because sometimes, everybody goes through shit. And we all have to be there for each other. So whether it's somebody that you have right next door to you, or somebody who you've never met but know on the internet, find those people who are your people. Keep them close and tell people that you love them. Because why not? Life's too short.
And with using that same logic, if you hate somebody, you should, send them a box full of cat feces. Just, right. just to let them know that you really don't like them.
Let's end on that. Yeah, good. Now you hang up the call. You hang up.
No, you. You physically cannot. I'm the one that has to hit.
I can't. So I'm in purgatory at the end of every one of these recordings. It's like I could have something really important to do, which God knows I have nothing important to do ever when we're done with these things, but. I mean, I want to go read some Demon Haunted World and spend part of the evening with Carl Sagan, but
I'm gonna go play Grand Theft Auto because I'm a fucking 14-year-old.
Okay, I mean that works.
And drink whiskey, so
we'll balance
to
17-year-old. Yeah, 17-year-old where you're like, mom and dad are out. I'm gonna play my video game. Yeah.
My dad would rather have me drink at home because at least he knows where I'm drinking at and where I'm gonna be.
That is such a good
reason. And that's your kids
that's your angry teen voice.
How about you just don't drink? And if you drink, anyway.
Whatever. Yeah. All right. Hang on.
Alcohol is the devil.
Everything's Satan, and everything's Nazis.
Everything.
All right. Good night.
Again.
I know what show I'm on.
The music you heard tonight was written and performed by Adam Johnson and was used with his permission. You can contact Adam at adamjohnsondc@gmail.com. This podcast is property of Not Narrow or Straight, LLC, all rights reserved.